week, we said we've really got to get a nursery going. So we do have a nursery option. So you can tell all your friends, it's like, well, I don't really want to go back because I had to deal with my kid the entire time. We now have a nursery option. The kitchen has been opened up and warmed up. So we do have a nursery option. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going on to part three and probably the final chapter of a little series about who we are, where we're at, and where we're going. And that video was kind of a way of representing where we're at. I mean, that was our last year or so together as a church family. And God's been doing some really cool things. There is no doubt about it. And if that was trying to summarize, and so Bob and Olivia, if you got a way to summarize where we're at, if I were to try to summarize where we're at as a church family, I came up with this. Lifehouse is a young, growing, active band of believers involved in loving and serving others in obedience to Christ. That's kind of how I would summarize things. I found it very indicative or reflective of what... There you go. Indicative of what we saw in the book of Acts. What we're seeing in the book of Acts is a very young band of believers. Am I still on? Yeah, a little bit. A young band of believers growing rapidly, expanding, seeing a lot of exciting things happen, but learning as they're going. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely what happens when you're young and growing, is that you learn. The learning curve is very steep. We're learning a lot about who we are as a church. We're learning a lot about specific people and how to serve them. We're learning a lot about the community. We're just learning volumes. And so that's how I would summarize. What would you say?
That's good. I like it. And I would focus on, I think we've talked about this before, but we're really proud of you all in involvement.
Amen.
We have done so much already in this community.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate. God's name is honored when we serve the way we've served. So. Praise the Lord.
You know, as Bob and I interface with the community, we hear often from others, oh, I've heard of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I heard of you guys. And what was it? We were just helping Ashley and her family move into their new house. And sure enough, on the porch was the door hanger that we put up last March. Our massive door hanger campaign to invite people to our grand opening. It was still there. The place had been empty, you know, so... Yeah, well, you know, people have heard of us, and generally they've heard good things, though I wouldn't be surprised if they've heard some negative things since we're young and growing, and that comes with the territory. And that just, I think, highlights that we still have a lot of needs as a church family, whether those needs are a nursery and help with the nursery or the band, and you know, help with the band, a drummer, something like additional... musicians, people to help us serve the community. There's a faith coalition that a number of the churches are involved in. I'd like to have a representative there. Just a lot of different things going on that we just don't have the manpower to respond to. A lot of individual needs, personal needs, your needs that, you know, we're not aware of. We don't have enough people interfacing or connecting with you so that we can become aware of the needs and be able to serve. And so there's just a lot of holes still in the church. And that's fine because we're young and we're growing. And that comes with the territory. Yeah. Anything to add to that?
Yeah. I would just say that there are needs in the community that we just can't quite stretch that far. Food things, for example, yeah. You know, we've contributed to one food bank here, and I asked the lady at that particular place, I said, so who comes? And she started rattling them all off. There are plenty of needs here. There are homeless here. This would be a cold day to be homeless. There are obviously widows. I think she said orphans. Anyway, they have plenty of people coming. And this is just something that's on God's heart. We are the care providers. Not that we don't expect others to come around and work for their keep, but that when somebody's down and out, and that's been a lot of our work, honestly. Mm-hmm. We've had many come to the store, especially, that are kind of down on their luck, and Tim's taken them under his wing and tried to help. This is appropriate, but we run out of people eventually, or pretty quickly. So there's plenty of room for work.
And that's why Jesus, one major prayer request he told us to pray for is to pray for laborers.
Yeah.
Said the harvest is ripe, it's ready, but the laborers, they're few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers.
Yeah, and I want to say one more thing, and I'll be really quick because, you know, really quick.
Yeah.
But it's this, that this has been a revelation to me in the last year. Everybody knows Matthew 5, but Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And then he said, you don't buy a lamp and then cover it up. It's meant to be out on display. And what I have been a little bit ashamed, a little bit embarrassed in my own life, you know, I would have said I was a kind person. But I think we're being more active as a church family than I have been. And that's appropriate. Jesus said, don't hide it, shine it. So we will continue in this.
Amen. So God is doing some great things. The video highlighted it. We're going to have even a more significant celebration during our one-year anniversary. But if you're feeling like there's some needs going on here, there's some things that aren't happening that should be happening, those feelings are real. Because we are stretched, we are small, and we are young, and we are growing. And so those needs are real. And let that sense of, wow, something should be happening here that isn't, let that sense be a call to your heart to help, to you responding and becoming a laborer with us and helping to meet those needs. Because there is no doubt, if you're feeling that way, others are feeling that way too. And we need help to serve one another. That's where we're at. Now, where are we going? where do we want to take this thing? And I learned many years ago that one of the priorities of any new church plant is evangelism. And I took a theology class several years ago about the Paul's process of church planting. And it's an analysis of the book of Acts and looking at various epistles that he wrote, and said, okay, when the Apostle Paul, the master church planner, was out there getting churches started, well, how did he do it? Because maybe there's some clues there, there's some keys there about how we should be doing it. And so throughout this study was absolutely fascinating. We drew out of there these steps that Paul routinely practiced as he went into new areas and started new churches. The first one was what they call aggressive evangelism, resulting in genuine salvations. They were very active in sharing their faith. You would see this whenever Paul would go into a town, he would look to where people gather. It's either the synagogue or down by the river or even in the marketplace. Wherever there were people, he would go there to interact with them about the gospel of grace. And so aggressive evangelism. Then there was the building up the disciples. Building up the disciples. As people were to come to Christ, he would build them up through encouragement. He would prophetic writings and teachings that he would give about Christ, the apostles' teaching, all that. You know what we see in Acts 2:42, Paul would do it. Then there would be raising up leaders. You know, because out of these disciples, there would be some who would really take fire, take this on and really run hard. These guys would be raised up as leaders. And so there'd be, that's the third step. four status, then he would commit them to the work of God through prayer and fasting, because Paul was then going to move on somewhere else. So these leaders now were going to be the main spiritual influence in the church. So then he would then later use the church as a base for spreading the gospel and encouraging the base church to join him in the work. So this new church that's seeing disciples, that's they're becoming leaders, they no longer need him there. And so then this church would become a lighthouse of its own, an evangelistic outpost, where they would then start sending out laborers and evangelists and servants and into the other towns around there, and they would begin to have an effect on the surrounding region. And then he would call his faithful men to assist him and take over for him in establishing churches. And that's what he did with Timothy and Titus and others. And so we would just see this pattern over and over and over again. So if we are going to follow that biblical pattern and Paul's process of church planning, well, then we're going to start, as we have been, with aggressive evangelism, being very active in sharing our faith in promoting Christ to the community. And so we've gone through our first year, and now we're on to our second year, and we're thinking maybe a couple of solid years of really making that an emphasis would be a good thing. So this is what we're thinking about for year two of Lifehouse Church. Let's start us off with the Get a Life Skills seminars.
Very good. This is point number two of making disciples, our Get a Life series. In each of the letters that Paul wrote to Philippi, to the Ephesus, to Colossae, to the Thessalonians, each one of those letters, he had a portion in it of ideals. This is where your life should be going. This is what you should be aspiring to. Here's the standard. If you're not there, you're not relating to the Lord quite right. These aren't laws to follow. This is a life to be enjoyed. But a lot of times there are dots separated, and we don't get the part between. And I think that's what this life skills series is about. It's connecting some of the dots. We know what the right thing is, and in our spirits, we say, yeah, that's what I want. But somehow it's not happening, and there are different points that can be evaluated between here and there, filling in some of the area between the dots, and that's what we want to do with this series. Jesus said, whoever hears his words and forgets about them is like a person building a house on the beach. And the waves come in and wash it away, and it's done. But whoever hears and then is able to put them into practice, is able to understand what the significance of that teaching is for my life this day, that person is like a person who digs deep down to bedrock. We have bedrock up here, right?
There's bedrock.
Yeah, okay. Digs down to bedrock, sets his house on a firm foundation. The difference is obedience. Oh, that's a bad word, obedience. Oh, no. Actually, when Paul wrote the Romans, he said he wanted them to come about to the obedience of faith. Faith is about obedience. By definition, it's about obedience. So that's what we're trying to do with these four areas: in our anger management, in love and marriage, in listening skills, and then in parenting skills. We're just trying to fill in between the dots of what we want and where we're at, and showing this is possible. In fact, this is what we fully expect. This is how we make disciples. So that's what we want to do.
Amen. And I knew I needed to participate in that anger management class after he told me what he was doing, and I got mad that he didn't ask me to speak on the topic.
Oh, boy.
I knew right then, wow, I need to sit down and shut up. So looking very forward to it. Darcy, do we have flyers for that here? Any posters?
Darcy's teaching Sunday school.
Okay.
We're kind of stretched.
Does anybody know? Yeah, there's one on the bulletin board. Any extras? Okay. Well, hey, you know what's happening? Starts next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here. Bob Hibbing and anger management. So yeah, bring it on. It's going to be in the paper too. So that's the first
thing.
Bring
all your angry neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. Bring all your angry neighbors. That's true. That's good job. Next, we've got last year we had the spring break blitz where we had college students from the University of Nebraska and Omaha come, as well as I think other places.
Ames,
but
Ames came up.
Ames people came. Well, we're going to do that again. We're going to have an invasion of college students from the University of North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and they are going to come here to help us spread the good news to Howard County. We did Winnesheek County with our door hanger. We're thinking maybe Howard County would be good. And we're going to go to Howard County, and we're going to put something. We're not sure yet if you got some great ideas, some leaving piece of some kind. I don't know if it'll be a door hanger or something, testimonial track, something that would communicate to every household in Howard County that Jesus Christ is alive.
Yeah.
And he can change their lives for good. And so that is what we're looking at for, what, March 13th through the 19th, sometime in there, they're going to come to town. And so it will be a lot of fun. And I deeply and eagerly invite you guys to join us. Don't just let all them do it. Let's all participate in this together. And so, Cresco, watch out.
Yeah.
We have somebody from Cresco here. Yeah, watch out, Cresco. They're coming here also.
Yeah.
But we really want to bless people with the truth that we have found that has set us free. And so that's going to be happening in March. And then we have our one-year anniversary around Easter Sunday. Easter is actually April 24th. This year. So I'm not sure if we'll do it on April 3rd, which is closer to April 4th from last year or not. We'll figure out exactly when we're going to have our one-year anniversary, but we really would like to make that a big celebration and just invite a lot of people and have a lot of fun rejoicing in the things that God has done our first full year of official existence. So that will be in April. Bob, you want to mention anything about the summer program that's still kind of in the works? But
well, I guess some have asked about running a soccer program again. And since some people are asking, we thought, well, there'd be continuation there, continuity. It'd be good. We need somebody to run it. We might not have the students up here this summer. Maybe not. So can we talk about John?
We could just mention that.
Yeah, there's a possibility that another of the Andersons, they know soccer, John Anderson, might be able to come up here and provide some expertise in that and perhaps some campus things. But we wanted to augment it a little bit more. You know, we had our soccer games and our practices, but we didn't get real deep in the relationships. And so if we could... we were going to try to involve college kids.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, if we can, involve college kids to run that a little bit more and actually draw the parents a little bit more. Probably eating. Always eating someplace. You know, we invite them over on Friday night, but that's too far away from when our practices are. So that's one. What else are we doing this summer?
That would be Hong Kong.
Oh, still calling that summer. Yeah, Hong Kong. That's summer. We might have to miss Nordic Fest, some of us. There is an opportunity for us. We've been invited numerous times to come to Hong Kong. And Darren is twisting our arm. No, not really. But but Darren's uncle is, definitely. Chin Yu is twisting our arm to come to Hong Kong. And so more details will be coming on that, but obviously it'd be somewhat expensive, but it would be a life-changing. Anytime you're in another culture, you recognize the world isn't just Decorah, Iowa, or wherever you have been. And Patty and I went to Ukraine in, I think, 2002. And there's just an indelible image in my mind of the solemnness of that culture. It's nobody smiles. They don't have anything to smile about. They're hopeless, by and large. So we, you look on a mass of millions of people that have a cultural emptiness, and your heart goes out to them. So I know Darcy's working on getting her passport already. There are things that will have to get in the works here, and I don't know, I guess this next month we'll have to pull together information that you'll need to know for going, but we would be going with Lincoln?
Yep, Lincoln, Nebraska people.
Yeah. Jim Weibelhouse, and if you don't know, Jim Weibelhouse has been involved in Asian ministry now for quite a number of years and has some experience in going, and we get to troop along with him. So,
without a doubt, going overseas opens your eyes like really rarely, I think almost anything else could. It just is an experience there. You can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it. Yeah. A culture, a life that you had no idea even existed, except just intellectually, you knew that there was a place. Like, I've been to Honduras and El Salvador multiple times. You knew it existed. You knew people lived there just because it's in the books. But when you actually get there and you see abject poverty and what it really looks like, then all of a sudden you appreciate what you have here in America, what we have available to us, so much more. I mean, you've got that impression in your face. I've got the impression of all these houses guarded by walls and sharp glass cemented into them because they have no real police force that they can depend on. Guys with shotguns standing by every gas station, again, because there's no one there to protect them other than hired guns. And just the poverty of it all. I just the kids living in these one house, one room mud huts. It's just amazing. And what is amazing even still for me is how happy they appeared to be. The smiles, the energy in the people, even some of the adults, were still thankful and happy about the life they've got, even living with so little. It really is an awakener to what is going on in your own heart. Go ahead.
If I could add just a little bit, Tim, also. God is working across the world. We are studying the book of Acts. We want to follow. For 40 years, we have wanted to repeat, to reach the world in our generation. It's outlandish. It's beyond us, obviously. It's not beyond God. And I just read this week, for example, in China, there are estimates right now that the population of believers may be between 80 and 100 million. God has been working in that land. That's almost at least 15%, if not about 20%. Of their population. It's probably the most Christian nation on the earth in this God-forsaken country. So when we talk about reaching the world, on the one hand, yeah, it's way, way, way beyond us. On the other hand, it's not beyond God, and He's working already, and we are just kind of pulling it together, I guess, is the way I think of it. Do you need help? Yeah, okay, we'll go there. Okay, you're set. Okay, we'll move on to the next point in a strategy, but God's already working. That's, I guess, my point. I was very encouraged with that. 80 to 100 million is the estimate.
Amen. So that's this summer. We'll see what the Lord does. So we're hoping to get a few college students from Iowa State University up here again, but we'll also need to draw from those that God is working in here that's a part of Lifehouse Church. We'd love to see the Northern Lights Soccer League happen. We'd love to be able to send this team to Hong Kong. We'll see. We'll see how the Lord leads. Yeah. But if you have any inkling that you would like to join us for a Hong Kong mission trip, let me know. Let Bob know. We can start working on that right now. Okay, then you hit the fall. And this fall, one thing that is on my heart to be able to do is to teach you guys how to share the gospel. for yourselves, where you don't have to depend on bringing somebody to church on a Sunday morning or getting them to watch some video or something. You could actually tell people about Jesus Christ and help them make that commitment to put their faith and their trust in Christ alone themselves. And the process that I have learned and that I love to teach is called the outreach diagram. And so we're going to have the outreach diagram class starting in September, and it'll be all semester long, all fall long. It's an intensive class. It's likened to a 3-credit college course. It's for real, you know. It's for real. And so we're really hoping to do this in the fall and be able to train as many of you as possible how to share the gospel for yourselves. So it's a really cool presentation, probably the most thorough gospel presentation that I am aware of. And I'm aware of a lot of different ways of sharing the gospel. It's probably the most thorough. Through all this, we would love to believe God to develop an active college student group, a student group that's got some identity, that's got some leadership, that's able to help one another in the intense environment that a college campus presents. Whether it's NICC or Luther, there's all sorts of forces there to get you to abandon your faith and take hold of the wisdom of the world and follow the ways of the world, which are dead ends, but everybody's doing it. So do it with us. And we know that college students really need that extra support and encouragement. So we are believing God, praying hard for God to raise up the leadership and just the identity to pull together and become a family within a family for the college students. And that's something we're really believing the Lord for through all of this.
Amen.
Amen to that. So yeah. We, as we were looking at Acts, we saw in Acts 1, you want to throw in Acts 1 at 118? 1:8, I mean, Acts 1:8. We looked at this verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That would be Decorah for us, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea. That would be our surrounding area, Judea, and Samaria. That would be the farther from us. It would be farther, more foreign to us. And to the end of the earth. That's Hong Kong, if you're wondering. It's like, where is that? I think Hong Kong. I think so. But there's this geographical progression of saving the world that is being communicated here by Jesus Christ to the 120 that were there at that time. And so we're seeking to follow that same pattern. We're reaching our Decorah. We've been doing all that we can for our Decorah in Winnesheek County. And it'll be a work that never stops. It's not like, oh, we're done with this, let's move on to something else. No, while continuing to have an influence for Christ, being a light for Christ here in Decorah, we want to also then consider the area around us. So when you talk about, okay, we see our next year, we've got a lot of intense things planned for Decorah. And a trip to Hong Kong and see what the Lord might do with that. Well, what about the areas around us? What about those other counties near us in Northeast Iowa? That's where we come into our 5 to 10 year plan. Unveil the 5 to 10 year plan. Okay, well, first step, life groups will increase and seminars will decrease. What's that mean? Life groups, when a church grows and there get to be more people, you go through this thing called growing pains. And growing pains is when people start feeling like, wow, I liked it better when we all knew each other and hung out together and we did all these fun things, but now there's so many people, I don't get the chance to do, and you start getting complaints and criticisms and stuff, and that's growing pains. And one way to help people stay connected, even as a church grows, is through smaller groups of close friendships, and we've been calling those life groups over the years. And so life groups will emerge as this church gets bigger. And so the seminars that we do, though they'll continue, they'll take on a different tone, they'll take on a different frequency, these seminars, like the Get a Life seminars. So that's one thing that we will be seeing happen in our 5 to 10 year plan. But, you know, Bob, I was just mindful here. Before I move on, we talked about where we're at and our stuff for next year. Are there any questions? Any questions about any of that stuff?
Tommy has his hand up.
Okay, go ahead. Anthony, I think you wanted to go to Hong Kong too, didn't you, Anthony?
Yeah.
Any questions about our next year plan? Or this would be this year, 2011. They will be. We'll get them on that website somehow. yet another need for a laborer.
Where is
though? Though Sarah does a great job. Once I get her the information and point it in the right direction.
I had to buy the ticket at the least possible price for the airfare.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, it will be an expensive trip, and we'll probably have to do some fundraising as a church to help raise money for that. So getting cheap airfare is a huge answer to getting there less expensively. All right. If you do have more questions, you know who
she
to
does.
Ask. Oh, do you have
Jenny?
Something?
Are there many jobs that you guys are looking at as, like, a group after the summertime, if there were people to come?
Like employment, like where they pay money? Well, that's where we were going to hope to work through Marcy and see if we could get Walmart to, you know, protect a few job openings for us. And donations, yeah.
That's
but
good.
I would have to know exactly what I'm going in there to.
Yeah.
Talk to him about, yeah.
And
so not yet.
Pray for my business.
Oh,
so
yeah. Pray for our businesses, and then you get we can employ people.
You know,
yeah. There you go. Yep. Okay, so that's one thing. Life groups increase, seminars decrease. Bob mentioned step two, the discipleship, the Get a Life seminar. We'll be touching on that. But discipleship and leadership development will become more visible. We'll need to raise up pastors. We'll need to raise up leaders. And that's a distinctive of our church, is that we raise up our leadership from within. We don't put an ad in the paper or, you know, put out a call or whatever they do. We look to see, well, who has God brought around? Who has God put with us? Is there anybody here that's really demonstrating the kind of character qualities that are listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 that need to be present in the life of a pastor? And if we start seeing such things in a person's life, then we begin to have a conversation with them, even as a church. We would present them to the church saying, hey, what do you think? Is this guy qualified? Yeah. And we entertain input. And it's a very unique process that God himself raises up leaders from within the church. And those make the best shepherds possible. Because you know them, mm-hmm. and they know you.
Yeah.
And so we'll need to be trusting the Lord to raise up pastors and leaders of all kinds, in all places, of all forms and fashions. Not just pastors, but all leaders. We will need them. Now, why will we need them? Well, one, there's a big world out there that needs Christ. But the reason we need them is because of our idea to reach our Judea. Bring forth the plan. Our wild-eyed ideas are to see new churches started in the 5 neighboring county seats around Decorah. Decorah, of course, is the county seat for Winnesee County. We would love, if the Lord so wills, that we would have the leadership and the laborers to start little churches in the 5 county seats of the 5 counties surrounding Winnesheek. And so there you would have churches being started in West Union, Cresco, Waukon, New Hampton, and Elkader. Wow, Bob, that's, I mean, if you were even close, yeah, that's amazing. And I think I even had a map in there on the next slide. Yeah, just, I don't know how well you can see that, but, you know, I just pulled it from the net. And so that's kind of a plan, a dream, if you will, that we would love to see the Lord use Lifehouse Church to start Bible-believing, you know, Jesus-loving, gospel-centered churches in these other towns also. We see it in the book of Acts, and I believe God wants to continue to do it today. And so that's why we're going to need leaders and laborers. Otherwise, this is just a pipe dream. Anything you want to add to that?
Just that you should be encouraged that we've got other churches doing similar things from Dubuque, from La Crosse even.
La Crosse, yeah.
Yeah, La Crosse. So we're going to bump into each other and we'll be able to help each other. But this is our, we've talked about this for over a year, I think. Yeah. It just makes sense. County seats. In the Gospels, or no, in the book of Acts, Paul would tend to go to major cities, like Decorah. Well, it's major for the county, you know? I mean, that's what people kidded us about. What's Decorah? Well, it's major city. It has the Walmart. That's what we always told people.
Walmart, even.
Yeah, the super Walmart.
Yes.
So the county seats in these smaller counties really are the draw. Cresco is the draw. West Union is the draw down there. So, and New Hampton, Carl's been over there. New Hampton, that's the drawing place. I even avoided it so big when I go down to Ames. So that's the heart dream.
You know, we see it in the book of Acts. We see it throughout history, where God would take a church of Jesus-loving people, you know, Spirit-filled people, and he would use them to change their country for Christ. And, you know, here we are. The baton has been handed to us. It's now our turn. This is our time. You know, these are our lives. What are we going to do with it? I remember as a college student going to a fall retreat, and Mark Darling was preaching from the stage. He was supposed to be singing, but, you know, he would slip out of that quite frequently, kind of like our own Adam. And but Mark was going on, and he was saying, you only have one life. Give to Jesus all that you've got. And I remember hearing that. I just remember that so clearly, and I just thought, yeah, it's exactly right. I've got one life. I can spend it living for, you know, digging up rocks and, you know, excavating fossils, which at the time I thought was pretty cool. And I still do think that's pretty cool. But I could give it to unearthing Earth history, which, you know, would fill a museum and get dusty. But I could give it to the cause of Jesus Christ, which not only influences and impacts, changes lives now, but it changes them for all eternity. A person's eternal destiny is altered if I would just have the guts, the faith, the love to step out of my comfort zone and share with them the message of Jesus Christ. And I thought, it's a no-brainer when you consider, you know, the value that you, when you compare the options, mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer. I wanted to give to Jesus all that I got. And I've been doing so ever since. And I won't stop now. Yeah. And so, this is a plan that we feel makes sense according to the scriptures. We feel like Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has put it on our hearts to believe him for this. And we would like to invite you to join us in it. Because God knows we can't do it alone. Amen. No, we can't do it alone. I mean, Rex can do a lot of stuff. But he can't do it all, even though he might think he can. He is a teenager, but there's just some limitations that we are aware of. And yes, we also do have dreams of having a major church plant, possibly in Madison, Wisconsin, or someplace warm. So, yeah, anywhere warm. I don't care where it is. It's got to be warmer than this. But, you know, it is a wild ride. It's a scary ride. But I'm telling you, when you get out on a limb, when you get on a limb for God, that's where the fruit is. That's where you see God move. I mean, there's a lot of people. I am convinced. I worked in college campus for many, many years, and I've seen a lot of college students begin to waver in unbelief and begin to fall away. And I have found one thing indicative of all of them. They stopped taking risks for God. They stopped doing anything for God. And they thought, well, where's God? He's not doing anything. Well, you're not doing anything that would require you to need him to do anything. You're not taking any risks. You're not stepping out in faith. You're not opening your mouth. You don't need God because you're well enough on your own. You're not doing anything that requires faith. Well, where's God? He's not doing anything. Well, that's why. You take a step of faith. You take a risk for God. You get out there and believe in God, and guess what? You'll find him. He'll be right there, ready to do miracles in and through your life. And that's what I've seen all my life. The more chances I take for God, the more I realize God was already there, doing things that I knew nothing about. I've heard people talk about how the Christian life is kind of dull, dry, and boring. Well, they're not living the Christian life. The Christian life is uber exciting. I mean, you read about the Apostle Paul's life, it's like, wow, how boring can this be? I was amazed at what Paul said during his final days of his life, the final hours of his life. He wrote a letter to his best friend, Timothy. And this is what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You want to throw that up? Thank you. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. And he finishes by saying this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And I thought about that verse because I want that to be the testimony of my life. I want that to be the testimony of your life. That when you're drawing your final breaths, you'll be able to say, without any hesitation, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. There's no better life than that. To live it full bore for Jesus Christ. And so I just invite you guys to join us. And if not, just stick around and watch us. Because it will be a lot of fun and it will be a lot of scary times. But wow, there's no better way to live. There is no better life on earth than a life lived for Jesus Christ. You have any final thoughts?
The only thing that came to mind, honestly, is this is so. We're getting, if we continue in Acts, and there are a lot of chapters yet in Acts. We probably won't finish it this year, but we get later on into Acts, and I think more than once, at least once, when Paul was in Ephesus, the result of his time in Ephesus was that all of Asia heard the gospel. From Thessalonians, he said that the word of God has sounded forth from you. It's like a piano sounding board. That's the meaning of that word. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I was the first to come to you, and I expected to be increased by you. I expected that your faith would become solid and that you would begin to advance the cause of Christ around Corinth. So this is just biblical Christianity. This is just it. It's a participation in an exciting life that has an eternal value.
Could we begin to pass around the bread and the cup? You know, communion is more than just remembering that Jesus Christ died. Oh, I forgot. He died on the cross. No, it's more than that. They knew full well that Jesus died on the cross. They didn't need this to remind them, nor do we. But guys, communion is a way for us to participate in the death of Christ until he comes again in glory. And if we're talking about believing God to reach Decorah for Christ and our surrounding Judea and even going as far as the ends of the earth, then we need to participate with Christ right now, every week, every day, every hour. Participate, join him in what he's doing. He laid down his life for us. How about you and me live our lives for him? And taking communion is a way for us to do that in some symbolic way. Remembering his death, celebrating it, honoring it, and imitating it in the life that God has given to us here on planet Earth. And so we're going to pass that around. I'm just going to read here again from 1 Corinthians 11. And when I'm done, we can all take the bread and the cup. This is what Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not command you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order for those who are genuine among you to be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you came and you died and you rose again. And because of this established fact in all history, we can know that our God reigns, that Jesus is alive, and that he is the Savior for anyone who believes in him. And Lord Jesus, by taking the bread and the cup right now, we believe. We are proclaiming we believe in Jesus Christ, in your death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we look eagerly towards your coming. Come, Lord Jesus, we are ready. Until then, may you find faith in the earth. May you find it right here in Lifehouse Church, in our lives. May you find the faith that perseveres to the end, faith that takes courageous, daring steps to tell other people about Jesus Christ, the faith to let go of hurts and wounds and love one another and being unified, answering your own prayer that we would be one as you and the Father are one. Oh God, I pray that when you return, you will find faith. And it's not just here, but it's all over the world. in part because we believed and we followed and we obeyed to the ends of the earth. May you be glorified through our church, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.